Good morning, beautiful people. Man, we got to try that again. I'm pretty sure y'all can do a little bit better than that. Are we running to Jesus' arms this morning, church? Good morning, church. Good morning. All right, there we are. It's good to be here with you all today. I especially want to give a huge, huge shout out to our first-time guests. I know we have a few in the building and likely a few online joining us. I consider it an honor and certainly a privilege every time I get to open up God's Word with you all. And I want you to know that you're in the right place at the right time and for the right reason. So I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them you're in the right place. If you're joining us online, welcome, welcome. Glad to have you as well. And you certainly are in the right place, even connected with us online. My name is Wes. I'm one of the elders here in case we haven't had the opportunity to meet. It is just such a joy to be able to be used by God. And I believe that he is going to use me in a mighty way this morning to bless all of you. As Pastor John mentioned, we are a church that believes in Jesus Christ. We are a church that wants you to belong to the local church body, and we also want you to become all that God has called you to be. And I want to just double down and give another huge shout out to Darius and Jamonda. I was standing right here, two people back from him when he was getting married, and so I was the one who told him to join online. So Pastor John told him he should be here in person. So, Darius, big shout out to you and Jamonda. If y'all are online right now, thank you, brother. Darius was actually one of the first people I met when I came to this church. I shared the story last night at the reception, and I'll spare you all the details. But I've just been so blessed by that relationship, having the opportunity to meet Darius, be discipled by him, and have an opportunity to disciple Darius himself and to just see the growth in his life. And so I'm just appreciative for the Lord allowing me to have that opportunity. And if you talk to Darius and Jamonda, and if you ask them about kind of the few months leading up to their marriage, they will tell you that there has been lots and lots and lots of self-examination, right? So that they could be better disciples. And so similarly, today, this is going to serve as a good point for all of us, you here in the sanctuary, those of you joining us online, as well as myself, to do some examination as well. And so I want to encourage you this morning to do some of that examination of the fruit you are producing, especially for those of us who call ourselves followers of Christ. If you haven't already, I'd like to invite you to open your copy of the scriptures. We are in Matthew, or if you have your Bible app, you can open that app too. And as a matter of fact, I think if you're joining us online, that there's a Bible app you can click right there online. Matthew will be coming in chapter 7, beginning in verse 21. And while you get there, I just want to remind you that we are coming into the finale of our discussion on the Sermon of the Mount. Last week, Pastor John gave us this second warning to beware of false prophets. And today, Jesus is continuing this closeout by giving us the third warning, beware of false disciples. The question of you being a true disciple can be answered by knowing the fruits you produce. Living a life of sin, exhibiting constant selfishness, attitudes and characteristics contrary to the fruits of the Spirit, you know, not truly following Christ. These are characteristics of a false disciple. Opposite of this, true disciples of Jesus, they have a repentant heart. They choose obedience to God's will and know and follow Jesus. Picking up in verse 21, the Bible has this to say, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. Verse 23, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Some of your scriptures may say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Today's message is entitled, Am I a True Disciple? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day, Lord. Just thank you that we have arrived here in the sanctuary, in this place for this moment, for the reason to serve and honor and glorify you. Lord, I just pray over the congregation right now in the mighty name of Jesus and ask that you continue to allow your Holy Spirit to flow through us and out of us. Lord, I ask that you would clear hearts and minds, that we all would be receptive to God's word and that you would move me out of the way. Lord, use me in a mighty way this morning. Speak to those who may be lost or hurting. Speak to those who are struggling with what it means to really follow you. Continue to bless those who have come here feeling joyous and celebratory, thinking about just the marriage yesterday or perhaps what is going on in their own lives. Lord, we love you so much. We give you this time. It's in Jesus' mighty name I pray. And the church said, amen. So I want to kick us off. I want to share a story, all right? I want to share a little story. There once was a group of guys, all right? Now, this group of guys, they're thick as thieves. They're not thieves, but they're tight, right? They're close-knit group. And like most groups you see, you know, you got several guys hanging out. One of them is going to rise to the top as a leader, right? You're going to have a ringleader, head honcho, you know, El Capitan, the captain. Now, the entire group, they believed in the captain. They believed in this leader. They followed him. They listened to his directives, all except one. One of the group members, he would outwardly profess his so-called friend, this leader, that he was, you know, he was the man. That's cool. You're the leader. But he didn't truly believe. He didn't really believe it. So, like most haters, he worked behind the scenes to figure out a way to take the leader out. One night, the leader has everybody over his house, you know, a little dinner, a few hors d'oeuvres, if you will, sitting around, a little fellowship. And unbeknownst to the group, their leader, he's actually a quite savvy individual. Some would say he's got a really high level of discernment. And he has a hunch that somebody in this group, somebody sitting around him, is out to get him. It's working against him. He just throws it out there. He puts it out on the table, right? I don't know if this goes down at your dinner tables when you invite people over, but this leader, he's on a different level. He just throws it out there. He's like, look, guys, I hate to pause the meal right now, but one of you is going to have me ousted. I just know it. So naturally, everybody's like, what is he talking about? I just came over to have a little dinner. What does he mean? We're trying to get at him. They all start asking one by one this leader, what is he talking about? First guy says, well, are you talking about me? Next guy says, is it me? And they're going around the table. We get to the one that the leader has this hunch about, right? The guy he's thinking, I think, is going to overthrow him. The guy asks the same thing. He's like, hey, you talking about me? And leader looks back at him. He's like, I don't know. You tell me. The leader knew his time was coming to an end. He knew his closest friends, this tight-knit group, would fall by the wayside. And of course, like really good friends, they all denied it. So the night goes on, everyone begins to doze off, you know, really good meal. But the leader just could not sleep. He even asked his boys, he asked the homies, he's like, hey, I need y'all to stay up with me. I'm really having a hard time with this. I need you to help me process this. But one by one, they fell asleep. Some of them just left. in the leader's spirit, he felt something was about to go down. Something big was about to happen. Somebody was about to come against them. And so he starts waking everybody up. Get up, get up, wake up, wake up. While he's doing this, his betrayer comes with a whole new group of people. The interesting thing is this betrayer, he was so close to the leader, so close. They were so tight that he was actually able to give him up with a kiss. They took the leader away, and that was it. Now, who is this a story of? Very good. Who is the betrayer in the story? Judas Iscariot. Very good. See, I was working on my storytelling abilities, so y'all just confirmed that, you know, I might be doing something pretty good here. Very good. So I want you to keep this story in the back of your mind as we continue through the message, and you think about this title, Am I a True Disciple? I want you to imagine being so close to Jesus that you can kiss him, but in fact, we're fake. You were a fake disciple. And most of you likely, sounds like, know how the story ends for Judas. It ends in death. Now, why is this important? Good question, Ed. It's important because God's judgment hangs over fallen mankind, those of us living a life of sin. A relationship with Jesus, more so than just being close to him, that true relationship with him, that's the basis for entry into the kingdom. Your obedience to God's will must flow out of that relationship. And it's through that relationship that you can know and follow Christ. Christ, whose story didn't end there, right? Christ's story goes on, even after he's seized by Judas and this group of thugs. And so then what is a false disciple, you would ask? Good question, Jason. Thank you for asking. Simply put, a false disciple is someone who has professed to living a life for Christ but doesn't really believe. A person who does not imitate Jesus, a person who does not carry on the ministry of Jesus, and certainly a person who does not become like Jesus, we can categorize as a false disciple. And if you're not already, let me encourage you to take notes. I see we got some scholars in the building already taking notes. This is a great message to take notes on because we're going to, like I said, we're going to be doing some self-examination, all right? We're really going to look at ourselves in the mirror and ask ourselves this question of, am I a true disciple? And I want to get to the meat of the message, and let's examine our verses so we can really understand if we are true disciples. Our first point today, you will know you are a true disciple if, point number one, you have a repentant heart. Verse 21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. This verse reminds us that an oral confession alone, just an oral confession of Jesus as Lord, it doesn't always indicate that you have a repentant heart. Hebrews 12 and 1 tells us a repentant heart begins with the desire to give up the sin that so easily entangles each of us. And true repentance is actually so much more than that. It's more than feeling bad about something you've done or something you didn't do. It's more than trying to be a better person than you were yesterday. You see, true repentance, it reveals our brokenness and our desperate need for a Savior. A repentant heart looks like a heart for God. It's a heart which God has changed through the hearing of the word. It's a heart guided by the Holy Spirit. When our hearts, church, identifies with God's heart, it draws us closer to him. When our heart identifies with God's heart, it draws us closer to our church family, those to your left and to your right. When our heart identifies with God's heart, it draws us closer to the Bible. It draws us closer to prayer. It draws us closer to fasting, to believing the truth. We develop a dependence on God, which results in a changed heart. Matthew, if we go back in Matthew, we've been in Matthew for quite some time now. If you go back in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 8, it reminds us that we should produce fruit in keeping with what? Repentance. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Furthermore, this outward profession alone, in this case, Lord, Lord, it's a divine saying, right? We understand that when we say that, we're calling on Jesus, who is divine. It doesn't guarantee genuine discipleship, though. Outwardly professing you need Jesus, outwardly professing Jesus as Lord, outwardly telling people what you've done for Christ, these are all great and it's needed, but genuine discipleship, true discipleship happens in your heart. And it looks like Romans 10, 9 and 10, which says this. Romans 10, but what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that if we proclaim, verse 9, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess faith and are saved. When you know God through Jesus, you are compelled to do his will. It will not be your profession that counts, church, but your profession as shown by the way you live. In case you missed, I'm going to give you that one more time. It will not be your profession that counts, but your profession as shown by the way that you live. I remember a time in my life when people would come to me and they would talk about the things that they were hurting or needing. You know, hey, Wes, my mom is in the hospital and I'm really struggling. She's been in and out of the hospital. And I'd say, hey, brother, I'll pray for you. Or somebody would say, hey, Wes, I'm having a stressful week. Like, I'm really struggling. You know, it's a lot going on in my life. Hey, I'm going to add you to the prayer list. I got you. Somebody would say, man, like, I just feel lost. Like, I feel like sin is just overtaking my life. Hey, I'm going to pray for you. But we're a transparent church, and a lot of you know me by now. I'm going to be honest. I would say maybe 50% of the time, if not more, I didn't really pray. I was just adding them to that proverbial prayer list. And as I've grown in my faith, as I've been obedient to God's will and the outpouring of that, what it has done is shifted my heart and my mind to understand that now I stop in the moment. DJ comes to me and says, hey, Wes, I'm struggling. I got something going on, brother. We praying right then and right there. It's not just the outward profession that I'm giving him, but I really want him to connect with my heart. I want him to see my relationship with Christ in the moment. I want him to see that it's real. To be clear, it's not necessarily a bad thing to say, Lord, Lord, okay? So I want to be clear. It's not bad to call on the name of Jesus, but it's insufficient. Because it's easy for anyone to profess loyalty. It's easy for me to say, Bill, I'm going to pray for you. But to be proactive is something completely different. To actually stop and connect with Bill and pray with him in that moment, that's something completely different. It's doing the will of the Father that matters, not the words we profess. Second point today, you will know you are a true disciple if, point number two, you choose obedience to God's will. Verse 22 says, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name? Jesus, didn't we do many mighty works or miracles in your name? Church, false disciples may exercise power in Jesus' name, but as these verses depict, their activities are meaningless because they deceive themselves and other believers, desiring attention for their own spectacular displays. True disciples, on the other hand, are out to see God's will fulfilled and desire attention for Christ to be glorified in all that they do. My goal here, preaching to you this word this morning, my goal is not to show you what kind of person I am. My goal here is not to show you or to get any type of accolades by being up here. No, my goal, if you want to know what Wes's goal is, my goal is to be obedient to God's call on my life. And if I was honest, DJ can confirm this, and Pastor John, and I talked to Ed before the sermon, I have had a rough, rough week. I have had a stressful week. Just this morning at 1 a.m., I had to take my son to the emergency department. Now, he's fine. I'll just go ahead and throw that out in case you're wondering. But it has been a stressful week, and it would have been easy for me to say, you know what, Pastor John, I'm hurt. I'm struggling. And I can't do this morning. I need you to jump in. It's been a hard week. It's been a stressful week, right? But it's not about me. My family understands. This isn't about me. This moment, this message is coming out of a heart of obedience to God's will so that you all may be blessed and grow in your understanding of God's word and grow in your relationship with Jesus. Mighty works, as we see in these verses, they're not proof of the Father's will since they can come from other sources than God. These other sources, if you're asking, what are these other sources? They're demonic sources. Some of us are pretty skilled, and we can create great works or miracles on our own accord. And I'm not going to go down that road, but just know that in this world we live in, there's other forces operating outside of God. These false disciples that we're reading about in these verses have prophesied in Jesus' name, and by that name exorcised demons, performed miracles, and in some ways, perhaps there's no reason to judge these claims as false, but rather their claims are insufficient. Because as James 2 and 14 through 18 says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds, can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Hey, go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and what? I will show you my faith by my deeds.'" Obedience to God's will is more important than great works or miracles. Those who must plead their case need also remember that it could be a lie. I mean, it's clear that in these verses there is a plead going on. I remember going back to my middle school days, and Mom and Dad, if you're watching this, you'll probably, I'm going to see if you remember this. I'll get a phone call after the sermon. Going back to my middle school days, parents are going out. Grandparents come over to watch me. They only leave one directive, one instruction my parents leave us with. Make sure Wes takes a bath, all right? Wes, you ain't got to do nothing else. Just make sure you take a bath. I got you. That's easy. I got it. Great. So they leave. About an hour later, Grandma comes in. "Hey, Wes, you take a bath?" "Okay, I got you, Grandma. I got you." So I go in the bath, and I decide I'm going to create a mighty work, right? I'm like, you know what? I'm going to show them a little wonder right now. So I turn on the faucet, the sink faucet, let the water run so you can hear a little water going. I grabbed the towel, get the towel wet. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to really throw on this great work. I'm going to throw on this little smell good lotion. You know, let me go change my clothes real quick. So I come out the bathroom. I'm good, Grandma. I took a bath. Now, don't ask me why I did this. I have no idea to this day why I didn't just take a bath. But here we are. She's like, great. So another hour goes by. Parents come home. What's the first thing they ask? Wes, did you take a bath? Yeah, of course. All right. So 5 minutes go by. I'm downstairs doing my thing. Next thing you know, Wesley! Now, in my household, I know some of you would say when you get the first name and middle name, it's game time. In my household, you get the first name, it's a wrap. All right? Come upstairs. So I come upstairs. Did you take a bath? And I start pleading my case. Dad, what do you mean? Smell me. Did you take a bath? Dad, like, check out the towel. It's wet. Did you take a bath? Dad, like, I got new clothes on. I'm pleading my case here. Well, I will spare you the details. I didn't end up quite like Judas Iscariot because I'm still here today. But the end of the story was a little bleak for little Wes. I'll just say that. The point being, the ability to do mighty works or miracles in some ways may say nothing about your inner holiness. I was lying that entire time. Your ability to recite scripture at the drop of the dime may say nothing about your inner holiness. Your ability to pray for someone may say nothing about your inner holiness. Your ability to read a Bible verse every Tuesday at 8 a.m. may say nothing about your inner holiness. Rather, your personal relationship with Christ should produce an obedience to his will, which causes you to read that Bible verse every Tuesday. Your personal relationship with Christ should produce an obedience to his will, which causes you to pray for others. Your personal relationship with Christ should produce an obedience to his will, which causes you to recite scripture at the drop of a dime. Your personal relationship with Christ should produce an obedience to his will, which allows you and gives you the ability to do the mighty work for those around you. Turn to your neighbor and say, choose obedience to God's will. Choose obedience to God's will. As we get ready to conclude and go into our last point this morning, point number three, you will know you are a true disciple if you know and follow Jesus. Verse 23 says, and then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Some of your scriptures may say, away from me, you evildoers. You see, Jesus never knowing these false followers is in line with those who come close to spiritual reality while knowing nothing of its fundamental reality. Think back to Judas, right? How close did he get to that spiritual reality and really didn't have a clue what he was missing out on? Judas was hanging out, professing Christ, but he didn't have the relationship. This verse, and then I will declare to them, Jesus says that he will one day exercise the right or privilege of condemning people to hell. And that's a heavy thought. Something that only God can do. Though these disciples appeared to belong to Jesus, they were never truly saved. These false disciples we're reading about. For Jesus says he never even knew them. And it begs that question, am I a true disciple? You know, to hear, I have nothing to do with you? I mean, I don't know if it's just me, but I feel like that's really clear. It's very clear. And it's pretty solemn, right? Away from me, you evildoers. This is actually quoted from Psalm 6 and 8. So Jesus is taking us back to the Old Testament, Psalm 6 and 8, which actually says, away from me, all you who do evil. Luke, if we turn to Luke, and in chapter 13, Luke says it pretty good too, chapter 13, beginning in verse 22. Then Jesus went through the towns and the villages teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? What did he say? He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and what? Pleading. Here goes that plea again. Sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, check this out, I don't know you or where you come from. Then you will say, here's the plea again, check out the plea. You'll say, but we ate with you. Lord, we drank with you. Dad, my towel, it's wet. But he will reply, verse 27, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. Can you imagine being in this position? Have any of you ever been out to a restaurant, a lot of people around, and you see somebody you know or you think you know, and you run up to them, right? You're like, hey, Liz, you remember me? You remember me? We used to teach together. We used to hang out and have so much fun. Liz is like, I don't know. No, you remember? Like, we went to church together. We did a whole bunch of community service. You know, it was really fun. Liz is like, I'm sorry. I don't know you. Like, I'm trying, but I don't know you. And then you're like really trying to press in and plead, like, Liz, no, like, we know. And Liz is like, wait, like, you need to really back up. Like, you're in my space. We trying to eat. You kind of need to depart from me right now, because I don't know you. Now, I don't know if that's been, any of you have been in that situation, but that can cause you to feel pretty down and out when you really feel like you know somebody and they just cut you off like that. And that's the picture we get right here. Jesus alone decrees, church, who does or does not enter the kingdom. This deciding factor for us is whether or not you know and follow Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Do you believe he is the risen Savior, the one who carried the weight of our sins on a cross so, so long ago, died a brutal death to rise in 3 days, defeating sin and the grave? Are you following Jesus, church? Is your faith accompanied by action? Here's a good question for you when you think about, am I a true disciple? What does your fruit look like? Your fruit should be evident if we go back in the verses that we've seen in the previous Sundays, all the way back to verse 15. Jesus says over the course leading up to verse 23 that one tree bears good fruit and one tree bears bad fruit. And guess what, church? Every one of us in here falls into one of those two categories. Either you have repented of your sins and Christ has changed your heart, you're producing love, joy, peace, the fruits of the Spirit we see in Galatians chapter 5. Or the other side of the coin is you're still trusting in yourself and rejecting Christ. You're bringing forth the works of the flesh. Have you looked at the fruits of the Spirit lately to see if they reflect who you are? Church, do you keep God's commandments? Here's another one for you. Am I a true disciple? Do you love others sacrificially? This question of, are you a true disciple? It really begins with this self-examination. Right, and I've given you some questions, and if you're taking notes, here are some good questions, and if you didn't, we're going to hit you with them in the community groups that's going down this week, so you can really hit them there. Jesus taught that false disciples would be exposed on Judgment Day for who and what they truly were. The Bible tells us that Jesus will personally unmask false disciples and banish them from the kingdom of heaven. And church, I don't want that for you. The leaders of this church, the elders, we don't want that for you. Do you have a new heart? Are you operating in sin this morning? If you are, I'm here to tell you God's judgment hangs over you. But the good news, the gospel, is that it doesn't have to be that way. The good news is that you can withstand the judgment of God so long as you are in Christ, who has already been judged, who has already defeated sin and death. My brothers and sisters, this morning, I'm here to tell you to place yourself totally, completely in Jesus. Don't lean on yourself. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't simply call yourself a Christian. Rest wholly in the Savior. If you really trust Jesus, church, your life won't be self-centered any longer. If you really know and follow Jesus, you won't be comfortable walking in the dark. If you really know and follow Jesus, you will not be in love with this world and what it has to offer. My brothers and sisters, the reality of your faith, the reality of my faith, will be made clear by the fruits of our life. Repent. Be obedient to God's will. Dig deep. Dig deep. And give your life to a Savior that you can know and follow. A Savior that loves you. Let's pray. Father God, am I a true disciple? Over the last couple weeks, 2-3 weeks, just studying these scriptures and asking myself that question in the mirror over and over, am I a true disciple? And you hitting me with these questions about having a new heart, examining my fruit. Lord, I pray that for those under the sound of my voice would be convicted in this moment, that they would be encouraged themselves, if they haven't already started this morning, to go back to Galatians, to see what the fruits of the Spirit are and really do a practice with themselves and ask, are they exhibiting those fruits? Love, peace, joy, kindness, patience. Lord, we need you this morning. If there's anyone here this morning who does not know Jesus, who needs to start a new life with them, right where you are, you can pray a prayer with me and just say, Father God, forgive me of my sins, Lord. I need to repent. Lord, I want to be obedient to your will. Come into my heart. Change my life. Change me for the better. I want to know and follow you. I love you, Jesus. And for those of us who have been following Jesus and call ourselves Christians, I would just encourage you to take this opportunity in this moment of prayer, even to just ask God to convict you of areas in your own life where sin may be present. My prayer for you is that you would repent from that, that you would turn back to obedience to the Father, that you would continue to know and follow him, that you would let your relationship with Christ overflow into all the things you do. Lord, as we get ready to leave this place, I just pray for guidance and wisdom, comfort and strength. Lord, we love you, we need you, we trust you. It's in Jesus' mighty name I pray. And everybody said, amen, amen.